Last 3 weeks, we've been speaking about a couple of things, and I believe you will remember. How many of you remember the message last 2 weeks ago? Somebody say we forget easily. At least would you remember, there's one which I did say about chapter 4 of Luke, verse 18. Can any one of you recite? Can any one of you say what it says in chapter 4, verse 18? So we will know that word is supposed to be a word that is given to us. We must bear it. Every Christian must inscribe it in their heart that that is the word, is a mission statement by Jesus Christ for this world. And that becomes a mission statement when he sends us out into mission. That becomes inscribed in our heart. That is our statement. And we continue to carry that statement throughout our lifetime so that we can live like a book of Acts apostles, how they lived. Amen. Praise God. So that is the mission statement. For today, last few weeks, we've been reading about, I've been sharing with you a message on based on book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. And last week you had something, and we did know that God is one who can heal everything. Last week you talked about the touch of the Lord. Amen? The touch of the Lord, those who are touching and touching back. And I pray that today that God will give us something new for us. Amen? Father, we just want to thank you for this time, and I pray, Father, as we dedicate our lives to Father God, I dedicate my lips and my tongue, my mind to you, Lord. That everything that I speak, Lord, will come from you. In Jesus' name we declare. Amen. The title of my message is very simple. Familiarity breeds contempt. Familiarity breeds contempt. We have seen the Mark in Gospel of Mark in chapter 4. We have seen miracles and signs and wonder. From chapter 1 until chapter 5, at the end, we have seen miracles and signs and wonders. Do you all know that? So last few weeks, we were talking about looking up to heaven, looking up to Jesus Christ, and walking on earth as alive, so that we know that Jesus is in control of our lives. Amen? We know that everything that we have in our life, God can turn it around. Amen? Amen. Hello, can I hear amen? Amen. The more you claim amen alive, when a preacher preaches, you want to get the word of God. I was looking at yesterday. Somebody gave me a YouTube thing which is to do about pastors in Nigeria who are making money. That was the heading. And it talked about how people went and gave money, how so much of miracles was happening. A documentary was taken by a man from England and how he showed. And people are going all over the world to see money. Money is not the criteria for preaching. But the preaching can be successful. A preaching can be very fruitful. A preaching can be anointed. A preaching can be receiving a lot of blessings can be poured down if there is an interaction between the congregation and the preacher. Hello? Do you hear what I'm saying? If you want to receive something, there must be an active involvement of the people who are seated here, not a passive person, very cold, and sit down and listen to a message. But you must be active to say what I'm saying. If you see that there is something that touches your heart, say amen to it. Amen? And I did tell you that I went to a church in Philippines and I preached. Everybody ran around. Not only they said amen and they were so happy and they were so lively, but they ran out and even poured out money on. I'm not asking for that. I'm just asking for an amen. Amen? Yes, Lord, I'm going to receive it. So today what we are going to speak is very important for our lives because we take things for granted in our life. They took Jesus for granted in Jesus' time. Until today, the history is repeating again and again. I want to turn to Mark chapter 6 verse, we have already finished chapter 5. Now let's look at chapter 6. After all the miracles and signs and wonders Jesus has done for all of us, do you have a book, Bible with you? After chapter 6 starts with something different. Now if you read the word of God, it says that, then he went out from there and came to his own country and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue,
And many hearing him were astonished, saying, Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor except in his own own country, among his own relatives, and his own house. Now he could do no mighty works there, except that he had laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because their unbelief. Then he went about the village in a circuit, teaching. Brothers and sisters, this is the time that Jesus goes back to his hometown now. Place called Nazareth. Nazareth is supposed to be a place. If you look at a parallel teaching in this, you'll find the parallel writing also in Matthew chapter 13, you'll find it. You'll also find it also in Luke. But Luke's one is not parallel to this, what he's talking. And I believe many people have said, you know, many theologians have said that there is only one time Jesus went to Nazareth. But I believe Jesus went the second time. This is the second time Jesus goes to Nazareth again. The first time he went, you'll find it in Luke chapter 4, verse 14 onwards. You'll see that he went into Nazareth, and he was almost stoned to death. Remember? Jesus spoke and he read that scripture just now. You said, verse 18, he read that scripture, which is from Isaiah. When he read it, immediately after that, they marveled the way he taught, they marveled the things that he did, and after that, they took him out and almost stoned him and killed him out of the cliff in the mountain. But you see, when they rejected Jesus Christ, Jesus being all graceful and merciful, he went back again into this. So he goes back again. This is what he called a Christly grace. Amen. A grace that we do not know. There are times that we reject Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ comes back to us and says, Look, I have the life for you. Why don't you accept me? So as if Jesus Christ went the second time, the grace that he offered for him second time, and yet they rejected again. God showed his gracefulness in his life. What is grace then? You'll hear about it on Monday onwards from a man who's done research on grace of God, Kevin Connors. See, the grace of God was, his heart was filled with compassion, says the Lord. Every time you see a miracle, God had a compassionate heart. He went back again to his same place, and his brethren rejected him now this time. Why did they reject him? Let's see why they rejected him. See, sometimes in our own life, how many times do we give grace to people? But how many times people take it for granted for the grace that we give to others? How many times Jesus came and we take it for granted? And we just said, oh, it's okay. We are familiar with Jesus Christ. So that's why we are not bothered about much. Amen? So people, ouch. People are now not seeing the things that Jesus has done for us. People are too familiar with Jesus. Let's look at what happened at the time. First one says that he went back to his hometown. But you see, when he went back to the hometown, I believe they did not bother about it. He might have gone on any other days. But they did not see him. They only saw him on Sabbath day, and they became hoo-ha about him on Sabbath day. Right? On the Sabbath day, he went and preached in the synagogue. And when he preached, people took every preaching that he said. People in Nazareth was about on the Sabbath day, as he entered and spoke, they thought that these people were thinking, and they said, Wow! They were astonished. What's happening here? We know Jesus. We are astonished the way that he's teaching, the way he's talking, the things that he's giving to us. They were astonished. When you mean astonished, what is the meaning of astonished? I know some of you are English teachers here, some of you know English better than me. But as I look up, it's like people were astonished, being awesome. Oh, what's happening here? They're shocked. They're panicked. How come this comes out from this man? Have you seen sometimes when you speak to somebody And suddenly something comes out from their mouth. You don't expect to come out from their mouth. Huh? Saliva. You're shocked the saliva is coming out. So don't sit in front here. Sometimes you don't expect a certain word to come out from their mouth. Right or not? You don't expect certain kind of condemnation or word to come out from their mouth. But suddenly you feel shocked. How come it comes from this person? Right? So you will see somebody and suddenly this man or a man of God, assuming a person who have never heard any word which is filthy word, suddenly comes up. You feel shocked. How can this man come have this kind of word? Is that right? Can you just imagine? And the same shock was upon the people of Nazareth at that day. They were shocked. They were not amazed, right? Amazement is, wow, how? Seeing something, we're amazed. But they suddenly were overcame with kind of terror. When something comes out from somebody's mouth, which you don't expect, we didn't see it come out from their mouth, suddenly you something comes out, you find you're terrorized. Like, there's something that is a blockage within you and the person. Hey, this person is smarter than me now. Have you seen that? How many of your friends, you know, in the school, suddenly you were quiet and you come out now, you start speaking. I didn't expect you to be like this, love, friend. Right? But to me, I was still the same. And I was naughty in the school, also outside of the school. So no change. But you see, some of them, you see them suddenly in front, out of school, in your classmates, suddenly you see them, they're doing very well. Oh, this guy can have this kind of plan, this kind of imagination, man. Oh my God, I didn't know. You're shocked. You didn't expect that to happen. So Jesus, being brought up in the place of Nazareth, he was familiar. Everybody in the town knows him. And because he knows him, suddenly when he spoke on the day, they found him to be shocking, astonished. Something that took a back on them. They fall back, I should say. Do you know? Like astonished, falling back. How? Right. So why did they were astonished? Why were they astonished for the thing? What were they astonished or alarmed about? What they were startled about this man? What they were alarmed about this man? What made them alarmed? Okay. Because the way Jesus spoke. Number one, they started probably to speak among themselves. Just like sometimes when I preach, I see some people talking. Right? When you go somewhere, you see somebody, something hits them, they must immediately share, you know, this is about me, this is about you. They don't wait until the message is over, you know. And I say, this person is like this, like this, so straight away, it's about you, he's talking about you. So like that, immediately, can you just imagine, they started talking to each other. When they started talking to each other, what were they talking about? They talked about the Word of God. The Word that came out from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's Word has never failed ever before. From the beginning of His ministry until the end of His ministry, His words never wavered. His Word was never changed. His Word was still the same from the beginning until the end. He talked about salvation, how God's mercy was upon people from the time that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh. The flesh now has got to go through the things our human being has gone through, are going through till today, that we have go through a lot of tests, a lot of temptations, that He overcame everything, then that He went on to die for us on the cross. And not only that, He didn't stop there, but He rose again on the third day. He came alive on the third day. That is what He was preaching. He was preaching about the Word of God. The Word of God is something that we talk about. We refer to the Word of God is in Luke chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. In the temple among the teachers, He also spoke. And when He spoke, what happened? And the teachers at the time when He was only how many years old? 12 years old. And what happened among the teachers? They were astonished. The Word is astonished again. They also thought, how did this man get this kind of word? And this boy is this age. Got this kind of word. This is too familiar for Jesus Christ. From the time of His birth until the time He went on the cross, His message was the same about the Father in heaven. How good the Father is. How holy the Father is. How merciful the Father is. How the Father created everything. And that now Father wants to touch back the people that He created. His message was the same. But you see, only those people would have gone there. That is, only Mary and Joseph, the father, the earthly father and the mother, went into the temple and got Jesus out from there. And He said, what? Why did you do this to us? Don't you know that I have got to go about my business of my Father? Why are you looking for me? At that young age, He said that. So would Jesus change? He will not change. But the people in Nazareth did not see him as what he is, who he is, and what is he speaking. Because this is something he's speaking which is different. Why? Because they are looking at the word became so alive in them, the word created, his words were not any created, did not create any kind of doubt. His words understood, gave meanings, and everything he explained. Every word in Jesus Christ, he spoke about parables and everything else. Every word that he used are all for the people at a time. The word that, the way Jesus spoke, amazed or rather astonished many people. If you look at John chapter 7, verse 46, even before that, 44 onwards, you'll see, the Pharisees sent some spies, some officers as a spy to go and see Jesus, what is he teaching? What is he talking about? What did they feel? They came back and they say what? What did they say? No man ever spoke like this man. No man ever spoke like this man. So Jesus, wherever he goes, his words so powerful, his words are firm, his words sure is live, that surely people cannot take it. It becomes a terror for people. It becomes shocking for people. Right? Can you just imagine? You're sitting down, suddenly a prophet who sees things about your life suddenly calls you up and tells you, why are you doing this? What will happen to you? You'll fall out of your chair. Is that right? Is that right or not? Right? So when we give prophecy, I've seen sometimes, and as I give prophecies, before that God will also bind some people and tell them certain things about their life. Oh, you're doing this thing, be careful, don't do these kind of things. As God shows, they get shocked. How do you know? It is the word of knowledge. So Jesus had the word of knowledge. So because the word of knowledge came from the Father, so he was able to speak what the Father spoke. So his word is not from him, but from the Father, as he says very clearly. So surely, Heavenly Father, when he speaks, earth trembles. Amen? The Old Testament says, when God spoke, he spoke through thunder, lightning, earthquake, earth shook. When Moses went and saw God just spoke to him, how did he become? He became very light. He became glaring. He was shining. His hair became so white. And he has got to cover his face when he spoke to God. So when you see God, that's why the word of God says, when you see God, you will not live. But the word of God which came alive. He spoke the same word which God speaks. Amen. Because John 1:1 says that, in the beginning, the word was with God, and God's word became manifested as flesh. So the same way, when the word comes out, you surely will be astonished in the way that he speaks. Amen? This is what the people could not accept in the word, the way he spoke. Second thing they talk about here, wisdom. What kind of wisdom is this? And what wisdom is this which is given to him? Because the second wisdom, they thought, Jesus' teaching always has got wisdom in it. Right? Everything, every question, even the parable he spoke about at the time, every parable has got a meaning, has got wisdom. He used words which is not a parable, which is not out of the world. They talk about astronauts, this country, that country, all those things. He talked about the farmers. He talked about the tax collectors. He talked about people at the time. He didn't have a parable. Something is different out of the world. He related every message of his to the people at the time. So his wisdom was far better. His wisdom was greater than even Solomon's wisdom, because Solomon received the wisdom from God's mouth. God asked him, what do you want? God spoke to him. He heard the voice of God. What do you want from me? And he said, I want wisdom. And God gave the wisdom. So the word that came out from the mouth of God is wisdom. So wisdom is standing right in front of us, and wisdom is speaking to us now. Hello? Can you just imagine? Jesus Christ is the Word. Jesus Christ is the wisdom. He's standing in front of us. Wisdom is speaking to us now. And what else wisdom can you find in this world? Far greater, the Lord says, far greater is what you have seen in Solomon is now here. Hey, The word of God says very clearly. He says, what you've seen since Solomon's time, it's greater now you see. So Jesus is the wisdom. They could not comprehend the wisdom. They could not comprehend the things that he, the way that the wisdom that he had, he spoke. He cannot comprehend. They were astonished. They were shocked. How can this come from this man? Do you follow? Hello, are you with me? And he didn't use anything he didn't quote from big words from the Old Testament. Like the Pharisees and the scribes at the time, they wrote the words and they kept it upon every part of their arms and their head and everywhere else they kept it and wrote it and walked around. Everything they will say, refer to this. This commandment, this commandment, this commandment. Or this law, this law, this law, that law. Commandments and laws are different, no? Right? Laws you must come and see Sabbath day, and laws you must come and sacrifice this. All those are laws. Right? You must have attend this feast and that feast and all those are laws. So they wrote that and said, oh, by this law you are condemned now. But Jesus didn't use that words. Jesus did not use those kind of quotations and condemn people. Even if the young man who came in Matthew chapter 19, you saw that man, young man, rich man came and came. Teacher, good teacher, he said, good teacher, tell me how to go to heaven. And Jesus said something to him. These are a commandment, 10 commandments, he said. He says, I've already fulfilled all this. And he said, go and sell your land, whatever you have. Sell everything, give to the poor, and come and join me. He was sad. Why? Because this man, his heart was with the wealth that he has got. Although he can fulfill the 10 commandments, he can be nice, but he had the wealth in his heart. He could not forego the wealth. See, the wisdom of Christ Jesus, he knows the heart of the man. He knows everything, all things about him. But he asked questions, triggering so that his heart can be exposed. Many a times in the gospel, you'll find the way Jesus spoke is to expose people. And they will judge themselves. Even the woman who was caught in adultery, the wisdom that he had. He didn't quote from the Old Testament and say, this one. No, nothing. He just said one word. He says, those of you who have no sin, cast the first stone. And all went off. He dare say, because he is the wisdom of God. Amen? So when wisdom speaks, they cannot take it. How can this man forgive sins? How can this man say, no, you cast the stone when you don't have... And he's sitting there alone with this woman, who's adulterous woman. Can you see the wisdom of God? So wisdom came down from heaven, was just living right in front of them. They could not comprehend it because they are looking only on certain things. Number three, they could not comprehend his works, miracles. He came the first time. They know he did a lot of miracles, signs and wonders. Mark strategizes his gospel from gospel 1, chapter 1 to chapter 5. You'll find miracles after miracles he's done. Even nature subdued to him. Demons feared him. Do you follow that? Storms subdued to him. Demons feared him. And every sickness flee from every one of them. He healed the blind. A leprosy he cleansed. Everything is done. But now comes to his own town that people heard about what he has done and they cannot comprehend it. Do you follow what I'm saying? I will tell you some things. Let's say, for example, you grow up in a place, in a church. Right? In a church. And you are a pastor's child or you're a child who's in the church. All the time, every day, grew up in the church. If you grew up sometimes later, everybody in the church here knows about you. And suddenly you do a miracle, you know, suddenly God says, they didn't have money, didn't have any food up there, upstairs. The whole congregation went up, suddenly you don't have. And one of them decided to say, Lord, I pray, Lord, there shall be multiplication now. That was a multiplication. What they will feel? Shocked. How come this person very quiet in the church grew up like, I know the fellow. The fellow I know, he was running around in this church without shorts, you know. I saw he was running around naked. The mother was and father was trying to. Today he's grown up now. He's a miracle. How come? I've been in this church for so many years. I can't perform a miracle. They can't comprehend. They cannot take it. Brothers and sisters, how many of us today feel the same way? The word, we cannot take it. The wisdom of God, we cannot take it. We cannot take the miracles of God. Do we believe in it? Are we becoming too familiar with it? Then in the beginning when you became a Christian, you were excited about it. Everything was happening. As days went by, you took things for granted. Jesus is for granted. You come to church down here. As you sang just now, did you feel the presence of God? Did you really sing what you meant, what you sang? Did you really do that? Or you're just being familiar with the songs? The words are just another word. Or you say a prayer which becomes so familiar. That's why recital of prayer is not what God wants. God wants something from your heart, not a recital of a prayer. Amen? Praise God. So how many of us are still in at the same time? They cannot see. They cannot see that Jesus is the one who is in. His message is the same. He'll never change. His wisdom is the same till today. He's still never changed. His miracles are still the same today and he's alive. Amen. Do you believe that? I don't hear any amens. Do you believe his word is alive today? Do you believe that his miracles are today working? Do you believe that his wisdom still is in function today? As fresh as what it was before. If you believe, then you will not be like the Nazarites, the people of Nazareth. Because they did not comprehend. They could not comprehend it. Because we become familiar. Sometimes we wonder, no? We expect our spouse or even our children, we say, this guy can't do anything much. Like we try. Suddenly comes out something, wow, it's from you. We get shocked about their life. Jesus' message is very clear. Jesus is still alive. He is the salvation. He talks about sinners. We are all sinners. The same message, right? Romans 3:10, 20:20. And all sinners are placed in a place called hell. In Psalm 9:17, Romans 22:8-9, it says that all sinners will be placed in hell. Only one way to repentance, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, 1 John 5:12. All other teachings does not lead you to life, are false teachings, except for the teachings of Christ, because it gives you life. It gives you the truth. John 3:18-36. Jesus is the only way. There's no doubt about it. There's only one way. That's Jesus. No other ways. John 14:6-10:9. That's his message. Even people till today, they can't accept it. Why? People are still looking at what? Oh, Yeshua. I think it is okay. I don't think so. And I've got some of the messages for. We are restricted now to even speak to Muslims in this nation or Malays. No, we talk about Muslims. We are also Muslims because we are Muslim means all men who are fearful of God is called a Muslim. We are restricted from speaking to some others about Christ. But we will have fear in our hearts that we cannot speak. But that should not stop us from speaking. Amen? Right? It should not stop us. I have got a thing which I am planning to do something. That I see a lot of scriptures from other teachings from a different religion, which talks about Jesus Christ. But we must show them, in your place is written about Christ Jesus and no other place. Everybody is pointing to Christ Jesus, nowhere else. Amen. So we'll pray that we'll be able to do, and they will not be like seeing that things which is not right, and where Christ is not right. At the end of the day, it is the way. It's Psalm 16:25 says, there is a way that seems right for to man, but its end is the way of death. Psalm 16:25 says it very clearly. The way, the only way is Christ Jesus. That is his message. From the beginning of his birth until his death and resurrection, even till today, that's the message. The message cannot be changed. Amen? Praise God. What did they do in verse 3? Verse 3, when they said they are astonished. And the verse 3 says that they were offended by this man. Offended means to stumble, to be blinded. Offended means to be blinded. You feel offended, to be stumbled. In other words, oh, I take wrong upon this. And they are blinded. Why were they blinded? Because their eyes were short-sighted. They only see things before them. They don't see beyond before Christ Jesus. When they said of this little town of Nazareth, how did they stumble? Number one, they stumbled because they looked at him as a carpenter. In the town of Nazareth where he grew, a carpenter means it's not only a man who builds the house, he can also make a bowl for you, he can make the chair for you, he can make the table for you, right? He can also make the cupboard for you. He can make anything that is made of wood. He also can make the bullock cart's wheel also for you. He also makes the, what is that? The yoke. Remember? For the donkeys, for the bulls, and the plow, for the field to plow. So, a carpenter is something is all-rounder that has anything to do with carving and all those things. That's what. So, the carpenter's status was low. That's why they look at it. They looked at him as a carpenter. They looked at him as a person that is seeing. Excuse me, can you please pass that one back to the person who is in? That's not supposed to be passed around. I've said it many times. Thank you. So they saw him as a carpenter. A carpenter will not be a person who is supposed to be a man who's in the city who's looked up to, and this man can be a leader. No. They look at the people in the synagogue, the teachers and others as the leaders, but not as a carpenter. Carpenter is somebody so low. That is why a carpenter, they looked at him. They did not see him above that. Why were they astonished? Because they looked at carpenter. How can these words come out from a carpenter? A carpenter, the man who made for me the bowl? When I was sick, I couldn't go in poo-poo, so I have to have a chair, so the poo-poo chair. He made it for me. How can it be a man who made all these things? These words can come out from his mouth. It's not supposed to be. So how much do we look at Jesus Christ? Are we looking at Jesus Christ as he is now? Are we looking at beyond him? That he is the Son of God. So the people of Nazareth are so familiar with him that they took him as a man who is a carpenter. A carpenter will not speak like this. Can you just imagine? I like about this man, Peter. I preached about it. When Jesus chose his boat and sat on it, I did say this. Peter did not ask, what is this man, a carpenter, got to do with fishing? And he says, if you can go out there to the deep and cast your net out. Peter only said one thing. Master or teacher, I worked the whole night. I've not caught one single fish. That means he's telling, I know this the Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Galilee, by the back of my hands. But you as a carpenter, what do you know about the sea? You've not even come here at all to bathe here. Or swim across the sea. I have swam across. See, Peter was very, very, very humbled, you know. He says, yes, Lord. Because you say, I'm going to go cast out my net. Do you see the difference? And the people here are different. They say, a carpenter. Oh, listen. Let's not listen to a carpenter, man. If somebody in this place here, if a cleaner comes and cleans something, and then he tells you something, and say, God spoke to me like this, would you believe? Oh, come on. This guy has been cleaning my, you know, all these places. He comes and tells me he's got a relationship with God. Would you believe it? How many of you have seen this movie called Facing the Giant? Oh, my gosh. How many of you have not seen it? We will play it here. You must see it. Do you know why? I prayed here last time, two times in our church. Because this man who's a cleaner in this school, in this college, when the football team was all the time unsuccessful, he always preached the word of God to the coach. A cleaner. He sweeps and everything, he goes and cleans everything that comes in. Don't worry, coach. If you believe in Christ Jesus, if you believe what Jesus can do for you, if you believe that he can not let you down, surely be. And that man turned around. He turned around. It's a true story about a team called Giants. It's a true story of a team called Giants, a football team that's facing the giant. From nobody, they faced the giant and they won the games. Because that man, in the middle of the night, turned his heart towards Christ Jesus. Not for anybody else. I want you to watch that movie. Can motivate you. There's none of them. When I played it in Philippines, when I was speaking in Philippines, I cried myself. By the time they said, Pastor, come up and preach, I cannot go up because I was still continuously crying. Because of how marvelous God can be. So you have to understand, you do not see a person as what he is. But look at what is inside him. Who? He's God. He's not a container, no? Yesterday I watched a movie, a true documentary about a pastor overseas. I'm not condemning pastors or whatever it is. This nowadays, it's called Prosperity Message. And this man did something and he says, no, young man, you don't understand. You must have, the container must be good, you know. The package must be good. Although the good is inside, it's very good. Unless the package is good, you can't sell it. Do you follow what I'm saying? Let us say you go and buy a Milo Tetra Pak Milo. If the thing is done very ugly and the package is not good, would you buy it? You know Milo is tasty. You know Milo is good. The content is good. But because the box is done, you don't want to buy it. I don't want to buy it. It looks dirty. Right? It's a marketing strategy. So you must package it nicely so that people can buy it. They are attracted to the package. Messages should not be packaged. Jesus did not package in a beautiful way. His content was more than how he looked and what he was. Amen. His content was bigger than what he was shown as a human being. Because he's the Son of God. Number two. Why do they see this man? This man was not learned. In the book of John says that, how can this man know this? He's not learned. What do you mean learned? Did not go to school? No. At that time, there were a lot of people who wanted to know laws and to know, understand the Torah very well. You must go under a teacher. There were many teachers. Even today, they have got so many teachers. They are called rabbis. One of them, a few of them I can tell you, which is mentioned in the gospel, is Gamaliel. Paul was tutored by Gamaliel. So he has got the credentials. As I was tutored by Gamaliel, the great teacher. But Jesus did not go under anybody to be taught. From the age of 12, he was teaching the teachers in the temple. His content is greater. Amen? His content is greater. So because they looked at him, how can this man, who didn't go to school, probably halfway drop out, because the father was poor, probably a carpenter, and he didn't drop out. How did this man have this? Do you understand what I'm saying? How many times we see Jesus as a carpenter? Do we see his knowledge that he came down to earth as a human being? We are so familiar. We have to think about some other deities. No. This Jesus is greater than any other deities. Amen. What did they do? They ridiculed him. How did they ridicule him? You see, the word of God says here, don't you know that this man is God? Is the son of Mary? Hello? Did you observe that word? Son of Mary. If you go back to Luke, it says, son of Joseph. Why is this gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, and why is this gospel, Mark, talks about son of Mary? So there are two different times. It's very, very bad to call a man, a Jew, by the name of the mother. Unless in the Old Testament you'll find David begot so-and-so through Bathsheba. Do you follow what I'm saying? It is David's name, or any other names, is Noah's name. It's not anybody else. It's very, very degrading to call a person by the name of the mother. They ridiculed him and saying that. Why? It's because they still do not believe his virgin birth. They did not believe that. I will show it to you. Two chapters, two verses. They still had cords. Even if the father is dead, you should still call him by the name of the father, not the son of Joseph, not the son of Mary. Do you follow what I'm saying? Let's look at it. How? They ridiculed him. How did they ridicule him? John chapter 8, verse 41. Can somebody read that quickly? Then I'll read it. Then they said to him, We were not born of fornication, but we have one father, that's God. What did they say? We are not born of fornication. You know what is fornication? Eh? Fornication is before marriage. A married person to have intimacy with another person, whether it's a married person or not married person, it's called adultery. Do you follow what I'm saying? Do you know what's the meaning of adultery and fornication? Fornication is before marriage. After marriage is called adultery. If you don't have your spouse, and your spouse, you without your spouse, you look for somebody else, that is called adultery. Fornication is before getting married. In other words, they were telling this person that he does not have a father. They don't know who his father is. Do you follow what I'm saying? Second verse, I'll give it to you again. John chapter 9, verse 29. We know God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. We know that God spoke to this fellow, and God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this fellow came from. See, the people of the times did not understand who Jesus is. They still have a question of how Jesus was born. They still have a problem with the manger. They still have the problem of this virgin birth. They still question. How many of us today come to church, say we are Christians, and we still have a spirit doubt in our mind that Jesus was not born a virgin, Mary. He was not born out of any intimacy, except for by the Holy Spirit. I know a man. I know a man in my business world last time. Very well-to-do man. His children all are no longer in Christianity. They all are married to Malays. All top ranking, doesn't matter. That man is gone, passed away. But he always say this. He came from a denominational church. And he said this. Always, you know, we can read the Bible, but how can you believe that, you know? Come on, if you have that kind of, shake it out from today onwards. Shake it out from us. Jesus was born out of the Word of God. And no other way. So if you have doubts in Jesus, who Jesus is, who's his father, then the miracles will not happen in our life. Hello? Are you with me? So our mind is very important. These people ridiculed him. First of all, degrading him. As a Jew, nobody calls a person, another person, by the mother's name, son of so-and-so. But they called him son of Mary, not son of Joseph. Because they ridiculed him, they don't understand. Because the people cannot understand something. They can't understand something. They will just disagree with it. There are many of us. There are many things, supernatural things, we cannot understand. Even to today, I don't understand a lot of things. But that does not mean I reject Jesus Christ and the Word of God. See, in verse 2, it says that, where did this man get these things? Verse 2 says that. Chapter 6, verse 2. Where did this man get these things? They are amazed. They are astonished And they are understanding, why? I can't understand. Where did he get this message? Where did he get this theology? Where did he get this understanding? When you don't know how to describe, you don't know how to define, or do not to give explanation, then you reject things. That is called a mind of the corporate world. A mind that does not see things. Unless you see factual things, only then I will believe. Unless I see this factually, I'll believe. In the supernatural, there is no factual. There is only spirit. There is only spirit. You can't understand. You really can't understand. I go out with my sons to see some movies. Recently, I went and saw some movie. I forgot the name of the movie. It doesn't matter. It's about the Zeus and the Greek gods. But end of the day, I will tell you something. It's God who is greater than all this. My son was able to, you know, to bring down everything. He said, "Oh, this is a garbage, Papa." No. See, he's quite good, man. He's not bad. He's thinking. He's quite advanced, you know. I didn't tell him anything. But he came out with me. Oh, look at these guys. Come on. I'm glad. He's not buying it. It's good because the moment you start buying all these things, then our standing in our life with Christ Jesus fluctuates, wavers. Because they ridiculed him. Yesterday my meditation was this. When I was reading something yesterday in Titus chapter 3 verse 9. Can somebody turn out to Titus chapter 3 verse 9? And I was reading and I was sharing with Brother Jackson, Brother Andrew yesterday, my morning devotion. I said, you know, something that struck me sometimes in my life, we go on arguing about things that which you don't understand. At the end of the day, you become foolish. Right? Do not go. Can somebody read from there somewhere? Titus chapter. Do you know where is Titus? Just before Hebrews. Before Philemon. It says this. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. So let's go on to the things that God has given to us. What is profitable? Verse 8 says that, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to man. So God, you know, we go and argue about things. These people want to argue. You know, you will see in the time, book of Acts, you will find, and Paul had to argue with the Greeks at the time. The first time he's getting angry. Second time, he has got a wisdom from the Lord. So he was able to speak to the Greeks at the time, Paul, in book of Acts. So you'll find that this one, we don't have to argue. We have to understand certain things cannot argue. There are factual things you cannot understand. The thought in our mind in those days to reject the gospel, to reject Jesus Christ, the word of God, to reject Jesus as who he is, as a person, as a divine person who's come down, the divinity of Christ Jesus, they don't understand, reject. That is why God gave an inspiration to John that he wrote the last good book, that is the gospel of John. To show the divinity of Christ Jesus. To understand the divinity of Christ Jesus. Follow what I'm saying? So, God, now, as we look at Jesus, how do we look at him? Are we looking at him as a carpenter? Are we looking at him how he's born? Are we looking at the things that we want to see? I cannot understand. How can it be our virgin can be give birth like that? We can't understand. Don't ask. God knows how to do it. Sometimes, doctors tell you, I can give birth. My doctor said, cannot give birth. 15 years, 16 years, never gave birth after marriage. Doctor said, cannot. And the person, the father came here. And I said, no, you are going to have a child. Huh? 15, 16 years already marriage. The doctor said, you cannot have a child. My wife cannot have a child. Can I see your wife? I had an opportunity to see the wife and husband. And prophesied. From the month of March. I saw them month of March this year. And the month, that last month. She's conceived. So God is able to understand. You want to go and define. God, how did you do this? Can you tell me factually how you do it? How did you change this? There are things you cannot understand. God has got power. He's got almighty power. He's got all the wisdom. Amen? So don't understand. So we don't understand that. Even doctors cannot understand. I'll give you one testimony before I go to the next one. I know you all know this man. Let his name come up. This is a very great pastor and a man from Ghana. He's a mighty man of God. And he came to Malaysia also. His testimony is this. When he was young, God touched him. He doesn't know his father because his mother was a prostitute. He goes and preaches, I am a son of a prostitute. God touched me. The things that I went through in a young age itself, God touched him. But one of the miracles that he did was that he prayed and said, God, I want a wife. When he became bigger and you know, he's already, God is my, he brought a wife to him. And the wife did not tell him that her womb was removed. And he was praying and praying and praying and there was no child. And he asked the wife, oh, I thought you got a man of God, you will know what. I don't have a womb, la. Huh? And he went out to the door and he closed his door and he said, look, I'm not going to see my wife. I'm going to ask God now. I want to wrestle with God now. He wrestled with God for 3 days. And he asked God, God, why you allowed this to happen? You know, I have a mother who is a prostitute. And now I am the only child now. Everybody else is dead. Nobody else in her family was around. I'm the only child. I want a generation. I want to have a decent life. Why did you bring a woman like this? You know what God did? She will have a child. And he came out and said, I know I'm going to have a child. He was so confident and faithful. A few months later, his wife conceived. And then understand how. And she took the doctor, she took the centrum, went to the same doctor who removed the womb. It's a testimony, you can see it in the videos. Brought the wife to the doctor, and the doctor checked her up. He fainted after checking her up. He cannot explain, he is the one who removed the womb. Now how can she have a child inside the womb? Can you just see? Can you explain that? You cannot explain God's work. God cannot. How did he go and do the parting of the Red Sea? You cannot explain. So let's not ask and argue things of explanation. Let's believe, a simple belief. Every miracle you saw, last few weeks I've been talking about, is all the time simple belief, simple faith. Heal the people. Raise the dead. Amen? So don't argue with God. Don't argue with the things that I want to see, factual things. Now, the next thing why the people did was to shun away Jesus' power. They shun away Jesus' power. It's not that Jesus cannot do miracles. Who says Jesus cannot do miracles? Jesus, wherever he went, he did miracles. And John says it very nicely. He says that, you know, if I were to write all the things that Jesus have done in these 3 years, whatever he has done, it cannot pile up so many books. Wow. That much of work Jesus has done. Jesus has got all the powers. You'll find wherever there is a miracle, even last week we did say that. When there was a tumult in this Jairus family, remember? How many of you remember last week's message? My Lord, have mercy on me. God, have mercy on me. Jairus' daughter was dying. Remember? Mark chapter 5, verse 21 onwards. Okay? And he was about to go. He was going. And the woman with the blood issue came and touched his cloak. He continued. And then the person who came and said, the servant said, now, your daughter is dead. Don't disturb the master now. The teacher. And Jesus turned around and said, no, she's just sleeping. When he went to the house, what did he do? He chased out everybody who had ridiculed him. He only took the father and the mother and the 3 disciples that he went with him. Who are they? Can you at least remember that? James, John, Peter. He took 3 of them because they know the faith. And he just touched the girl and immediately she came alive. Immediately she cannot do faith. He said, faith, woman, your faith has healed you. Believe. They did not believe in him. They have heard about the miracles, but they shun away because they rejected the gospel, the word of God, the wisdom of God. They rejected the miracle of God. They rejected. Because they rejected, they shun away from the miracles supposed to happen in that city of Nazareth. Do you follow what I'm saying? Am I too fast? So because they rejected the word of God, how can you have miracle when the word of God you reject? I will tell you, God is able to do everything he wants. You don't have to ask him. He knows your heart. He'll be out to you. I'll prove to you And you'll find in one place here that he was able to do. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 17. There was this woman, as he entered the city, he entered the city of Nain. It says, the word of God, as he entered the city of Nain, there was this one widow who was crying, and as they were carrying the body of the only child she has got, a son she has got, the only young man, only child, and she's a widow, and they were carrying, and she was crying, going along with that for burial. What did he do? Did the woman ask him, please help me, please help me, my son is dying? Or did the dead man come up and say, can you wake me up? Nobody. The power of God, the word of God says, he was moved with compassion, seeing what is in the heart of the woman, that he touched the man, and the man became alive. That's the power of God. You mean to say, you can limit Jesus Christ's power? You cannot limit Jesus Christ's power. That woman has nothing. She knew that she cannot get the son back. And the man is dead. He knows he's already now somewhere. Don't know where he is. Everybody was carrying him to bury him. Know that he'll be buried that day before Sabbath. But Jesus stopped them. He willingly and voluntarily stopped them. And brought that man alive. You cannot limit Jesus. No one can limit Jesus. If your heart is right. If your emotions is right. If your mind is right, Jesus will come. Even if you don't ask him, he will touch your life. But you see, because they were looking at him as a carpenter, they were looking at the word of God as the person, as he is, don't see beyond who he is. They don't have the belief. They rejected miracles. When you reject, when you don't respond to the gospel, you reject miracles. When you don't respond to the gospel, you reject miracles. That's what happened. Why all this happened? Why did all this happen? Because they were too familiar with him. Too familiar. If a person you are familiar with, you don't take him valuable. Sometimes spouse take their spouse for granted. You don't see it because you're familiar with the person. Some of them went with me for a mission trip. They are familiar with my snoring. So when I wake up, oh, this man snoring cannot do miracles, lah. When you become too familiar with the person, you take the person for granted. And you don't expect anything. The faith, belief in the person reduces because you are familiar. That is why the world says familiarity breeds what? Contempt. It is not from the world says, go back and check the Proverbs. There are altogether 31 Proverbs. It is written there in the Proverbs. Jesus was just quoting the Proverbs and telling him, a prophet does not have honor. It's not that he doesn't have honor, but the belief, the rejection from the own family, from the own city that were familiar with him. It's exactly from the Proverb. I want you to go back and read. How many of you read the Proverbs every day? It's found in the Proverbs. He recited the Proverbs. He said that. Why? Because they were too familiar with him. They saw him grow up. They have seen him as a carpenter trying to help the father. Maybe your father would have scolded him sometimes for doing something wrong. He doesn't know how to do carpentry, probably. Probably he was naughty when he was young. Probably he was speaking too much when he was young. It was meaningless to them. But now they have grown up. They are too familiar with these meaningless words. The meaningless word has become now something different. It's shocking. It's a revelation for them. They can't accept it. How many of us till today, not only Christ Jesus, take one another for granted? How many of you are so familiar with a person, we say, this person. Brothers, I hope you'll find yourself. The last I want to talk about is, the word of God says, Jesus marveled with their unbelief. There are only two times Jesus marveled. Do you know when are the two times? One time when the centurion, when is the time? Luke chapter 7 verse 10. When the centurion came and he says, my servant is now sick. Can you heal him? And he said, I'll come with you. I'm not worthy to be having you in my house. I'm not worthy. But if you say now, he'll be healed. Because he said, I'm a centurion. And I know I've got people under me. If I command that man, go here, he'll do. So he has so much of faith in Jesus Christ. He don't have to even go and lay hands. Speak the word and it shall come to forth. That much of faith that man had. And that man was not a Jew. That is why he says, I'm not worthy to have you in my house. A Jew does not go to the house of a pagan. Do you follow what I'm saying? And that man had that faith. He marveled at the faith that he had. Now he marveled at the disbelief that they have. Two times. Once the faith that man had. One, here, the Jews, his own people who grew up with him, the own people, his relatives, did not believe him. He marveled. He marveled. You know why? You rejected me the first time, but I came back again to see you again. But yet, you do not accept me. The truth can be in front of you, but you can't see the truth. The gospel can be preached to you every day. You don't see it well, because now you're so familiar. What is this coming to church? Ah, yeah, same old thing, like drag it up now, 10:30. I wish the pastor has got it 11:30, so that I can immediately go in half an hour service, 1 hour service, now I can go and have lunch and go off ready. Why is the service 2 hours? Sometimes pastor talk too much. He exceeds the two hours. It's 12:30. Yeah. Ayo, no, he's exceeding now. It is all a familiar things, la. But word of God is fresh. Whether you hear the song, the same song again and again. You came from heaven to earth. For me. If you really find it, it'll tick your heart. If you really find that Jesus died for you, it'll tick your heart. That's why it's personal. I cannot come and motivate you. I tell you, I'll shake you and say, look. No, this is Jesus. No. It should be personal. If you have that personal intimacy with Jesus Christ and understand and don't become familiar, because the more you get familiar, you should be hearing His voice very well. Clear. And as a master, you should know how to listen to His voice and adhere to His voice. Follow His voice. It's important for us to understand, brothers and sisters. Christians are becoming so familiar. They think going to church is just a fulfillment of the Sabbath day. Who told you Sabbath day is today? Every day is a Sabbath day for us. It's a New Testament. Every day is a Sabbath day for us. That is why He abolished the law of going to the temple at a time. It's every day being holy. Not being a hypocrite for 5 days, 6 days, and one day come there and being trying to be holy. Every day is our life. That is why He says, you shall be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. How can you be a salt in the earth, on the earth, and a light in the earth if your not life is not right? It's so dim, so dark, and then only one day become bright. As you enter here, only you become bright. As you go outside there, all the words will come out. We cannot find the dictionary. Brothers and sisters, why? We are too familiar. We are too familiar. Pastor, I'm praying and praying and praying. I can't get what I want. Why? You're too familiar. Go back again to the time that the first time the miracle happened in your heart. How desperate were you? How intimate were you? How much longing were you? Like you see a girl and then you say, this is my bride and I want to marry this woman, or this is my bridegroom, I want to marry this man and nobody else. Longing. Do you have, and you and I have that longing today? Our daily life. Even in my life, I've seen people who have been close to me, they become content. Why? Because they take you for granted. Jesus. Every one of us are important in before Jesus. So is everyone who Jesus brought before us. We don't take anyone for granted. We don't take the gospel for granted any longer. We don't use the gospel's message the way we want to use it. Look at the word. Meditate upon the word of God. And God will give you revelation. God will give you revelation. God surely will give you revelation. Our Lord is not a Lord that will say, no, I can't give you revelation. I can't talk to you. He will talk to you personally, not through another person. How much do we miss him? We don't want to be the cold church. Go back and check Revelation again. The only motivation I have in my life is the Revelation chapter 3. When he writes, says, write to the church. What kind of church am I? I'm not talking about this church entirely. What kind of church am I? I am a temple of God. What kind of temple I am? Am I cold? Am I the one which is contemplating? No, okay, it's all right. Every scripture he wrote to the Corinthians, he talks about adultery. So many things he talks about, fornication. Why? People who have accepted Jesus Christ were continuously doing the things which is not right. Because we take Jesus for granted. What is holiness? I don't know. Like the monk might go and sit down inside some holy place. That's called holiness. No, holiness is defined in God. Holiness cannot be defined on man. Holiness cannot be seen in man. We cannot take the shadow of the holiness of Jesus Christ. Chapter 2 onwards you can read. Every word is written. Whether you are loveless, whether you are willing to be persecuted, even the times in this nation of Malaysia, it's going to be a lot of tight rules, which I see is going to come. And I see in this nation, the government will say, have a department and say, you must register with me. Only then you can start a church. And then it will be like China, where the church which is on the top, all controlled by government, and underground churches will start flourishing. And they were doing very well, mighty works of God, raising the dead, a lot of them. Is that what you want to see in Malaysia? I believe some of you will say, I've got a long life to live, Pastor. I've got a lot of things to do. God will be with us. He who brought us into this nation, he who brought us into this country, brought us forth into this nation, he will never let us alone. Amen? He'll never let us alone. God is going to do mighty works next year. God is going to change the economic situation in the nations. God has shown me that, you know, God, people condemn America now. People condemn England. God says, because I remember what they have done for me, I will not touch them again. Just like the Nazareth, he went back again. So God is a graceful God. He's going to touch America. He's going to touch England again. You'll see the fire come back again. All those prosperity messages will die off very soon. People will start longing for God. They'll have the hunger for God. God will create situations to hunger for God. You might see earth's part. You might see fire. You might see floods. You might see lives go away. But God is doing something. God is in charge. God is in control. What is going to happen now again in Australia? What is going to happen again now in America? What is going to happen now again in England? What is going to happen in European creations? What is going to happen to the nations of Arab countries? And the people. You will see how many leaders will die next year. You will never see leaders dead as many next year as ever before. God is going to shake the world. Don't get familiar with him. He's a God we cannot understand. His wisdom is higher than our wisdom. His knowledge is higher than our knowledge. For He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. He will do something in Malaysia. Next year you will see something in Malaysia. It will happen again in this nation. I said again. God will do that. Because God wants to shake the people. Those who reject Him, you will not see the miracle. God is doing mighty works now. God has given years. And He reaffirmed the year 2015, 2013, 2015, 2018, 2024, 2033 are the years to watch out. If I live. You want to see people hungry and coming after God. You'll see that in this nation of Malaysia. There will be a change. You'll see Indonesia change. Indonesia will take the lead. Indonesia's economy will be greater than even the economy of Malaysia. God is going to pour out His Spirit. You'll see calamity even in Singapore. God is going to pour out His Spirit. He's going to come back again to Australia. Australia better change. As the fire was before, I shall bring the fire again. For the first time, the country took a vote to legalize abortion. And God's fire came upon the nation. There was fire. This time, same-sex marriage, fire is going to come down again. Because God has got an eye for Australia. If the people turn away from Him, He's going to bring fire. He only promised, I will not kill fire with the flood. But fire shall come. One side will be flood, one side will be fire. That's how God is going to work. Don't marvel what's happening in Singapore. Don't take pride in what is happening in Malaysia. God is coming. What He's doing in Thailand, you will see what's going to happen in Myanmar, in Cambodia, in Vietnam. God is going to shake that contagion. Because in India, they rejected the gospel. They rejected the message. They are killing the messenger. God is very furious. God is very furious now. You're looking at a God who is righteous. You're looking at a God who is mighty. He cannot restrain His hands. When He carries His hand, that is sure to be a miracle. You're looking at a God who wants to bring back His people back to Him. He will use any way to bring Him back. Bring the image of God to the glory of God. The image that was created in His image, that is us, to bring us back to Him. So that Satan will not have its way. There are many people who will divert away from the church. Brothers and sisters, that's the year 2015. God is going to show you the wrath. Time is coming. Let's not run away from it. Let's work with it. For God is Almighty, who is graceful and mercy. His mercy brought the grace. The mercy seat is no longer on the Ark of the Covenant. It's upon our head now. That His mercy and His grace will come down upon us. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Father, we just want to thank You, Father God, that You loved us so much. And You sent forth Your only Son, Jesus Christ. The Word became alive. Help us, Lord, as the church, not only this church, the church all over the world, that will not become too familiar with You. We will not understand, Father God. We only know a little bit of You, Lord. Very little, Lord. One drop in the ocean is what we know so much of You, Lord. And with that little knowledge of You, we become contempt. We become familiar with You. Lord, Let your grace be upon us. That we will not become familiar or ritualistic, but Lord, we will become, Lord, closer to you in intimacy, always expecting something to happen, always expecting something new will happen. Lord, we want to thank you, Father, for your mighty hands upon your children, upon all of us today. And I pray, Father God, for an expansion of the tent of this amazing grace. And I pray, Father, Jabez's prayer will be upon this church. Extend the tent of ours, Father God. Lord, extend the tent, Lord, of the worshippers in this church. Extend the people that will come, Father God. They will come with a heart longing for you. Not, Lord, to come here, Lord, to sit down and watch. We are not watchers, but we are participators, Lord. That we, Lord, will perform miracles because you told us to do. Lord, we will bring, Father God, signs and wonders in our hands, Father, for you told us that you will do it to us. Lord, the harvest is great. The laborers are few. Lord, we pray, Father, extend the laborers in this church. Extend the laborers in this church, Father. Lord, we expand, Lord, as we expand, Lord, that greater doors will be opened for us. More souls will come, Father God. Lord, not looking for people from other churches. Lord, we bless them, Lord, in every church. But Lord, we pray for new souls, Lord. Lord, we'll hunger for new souls. We'll be different, Lord. As the year approaches, Lord, we'll be different, Lord. Lord, take us to greater heights. We want to see you more and more. We just want to see you more and more. Isaiah just saw the glory flow down from your throne room. That's all he saw. Lord, help us to see even the things that Isaiah has seen, or Jeremiah has seen, or Daniel has seen. Just a glimpse of it, Lord. That we know very little of you, Lord Jesus. Mold us into your character more and more. Our times will be different. Our life will be different. This time, Lord, we will not have the same attitude of the people of Nazareth. That we'll see you beyond who you are. We'll see you beyond all miracles. We'll see you beyond all answered prayers. We'll see you beyond our lives. We'll see beyond this church. Lord, we dedicate our life to you, Father God. We thank you, Lord. We receive your gospel and every promise that you've given us. We receive it, Lord, wholeheartedly, and we take it, Father God. It's the truth, nothing but the truth. No other truth in this world can prevail except for this truth. We thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you, Lord, that you came alive for us. Thank you, Lord, you've got a life for us. Whatever condition we are in, there can be a change because of you. Whatever area we are hurting, there can be a change because of you. Whatever mindset we have, there can be a change because of you. Because your promise is true. Your word says, Lord, not even a jolt, not even a full stop or a comma will be removed from this gospel. Everything shall come to pass. We receive every word and promise that is given to our lives, Father God. That we, Lord, will prosper in every area, not only in the financial, Lord. Lord, we pray, Father God, prosperity in our spiritual realm. Lord, when we are close to you, what else we need, Lord? Everything is in your command. We just want your intimacy, Lord. For your word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You are the kingdom. You are all in all. When we seek you, Lord, what other treasures can we get? Only blessings that you have promised us. Oh, thank you, Lord. We can never understand you. For your ways are different. According to the measure of faith and of belief, you pour out to us, Father. Strengthen our belief. Strengthen our faith. Holy Spirit, we pray. In the most precious name of Jesus Christ.